Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, what's going on? It's Tuesday, November 12th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And, well, welcome to Week 11. Talk a little bit about Monday Night Football to kick things off today. A couple news items, including the Bears making a key shift at offensive coordinator. So we have that going for us. And I'll break down my top 10 waiver ads of the week. Of course, the entire set of waiver ads, which I believe is around 40 players right now, is available over at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off in the waiver wire tool. Really happy with that thing, man. I knew it was going to work. I had confidence. A lot of people did not have confidence in it. I heard a lot of complaints at the beginning of the season. A lot of people were very upset there wasn't a waiver wire article. And I said, hey, just trust me. And of course they didn't, but they used the tool anyway and realized, oh, wait, this is better than a dopey article. It is awesome. I love using it. I love the ability to filter, to sort, to search, all of it. So much easier than an article for waivers. So go check it out. And of course, hey, if you subscribe today, you get it for an entire year. It's not like it goes away after the season is over. So it is well worth it. All right, let's get into Monday Night Football. Of course, the finale was the Dolphins defeating the Rams 23-15. And on the Dolphins side, so Tyreek Hill is playing through a pretty nasty wrist injury. He did play through it, but obviously now we have a little bit more of an explanation. It isn't just the lack of Tua Tagovailoa for a good chunk of this season. He's playing hurt. You know, he's playing hurt. And fortunately, he caught a touchdown. He only had 3 for 16, only had 4 targets. Waddle out-targeted him. Waddle out-produced him, with the exception of the touchdown, but the touchdown helps, right? He ends up PPR-wise, gets over double digits, barely. He also had 11 rushing yards, by the way. But, you know, my thought process on this is, you know, obviously people are going to be panicking about Tyreek Hill for fantasy. If you feel that way, guess what? 95% of the playing public feels the exact same way. Any of these sort of instinctual things that you experience during the course of a fantasy season, most people have the same instincts. Like, there's nothing unique about it. And we can actually use that to our advantage. We can weaponize that. Now, in this instance here, I'm not saying buy low on Tyreek Hill. No. But definitely not a sell time either. Now, the Dolphins, believe it or not, are not out of the playoff picture. They have some work to do. But I looked at their schedule going forward. They get Vegas. They get the Patriots. 2 winnable games. They get Green Bay on the road. That's a tough one. They get the Jets. Those are divisional games. But honestly, the Jets is a winnable game. So they're 3-1. Houston on the road, that's going to be tough. San Francisco at home, tough. But that's 3-3. They get the Browns and then the Jets again. They could legitimately win 5 of their final 8 games. That would put them close. I think they'd still have to do a little bit of work from there, but that would put them surprisingly close to the playoff picture. They would actually still be a losing team. They'd still have a losing record if they don't win 6 of their final games, but they could do that. They could really do that. So there is at least motivation for Tyreek Hill to continue playing through the injury. So that is good if you had any concerns there. I mean, yeah, the numbers aren't going to be as great, but he still was obviously startable this past week. It wasn't devastating. It wasn't good, but it wasn't devastating. I do expect, you know, better days ahead for Devon Achane. Mostert was barely used in this one. So again, you know, you can't really use him as a starting option. Your starting options really remain Waddle, Hill, and Achane. And obviously Tua is a streamer. He was really solid again. It wasn't spectacular, but it was solid enough. Moving over to the other side. So Stafford put up decent yardage. I actually threw this out on that other pregame show. If you follow along with my career and what I'm doing, you probably watch it. Hopefully you watch it. It is on CBS Sports Network on Sunday mornings. We're a full pregame show. I cover fantasy betting, college football, occasionally a few other things for the show. I'm a role player. You know, I'm like a Taysom Hill. I can do it all, but mainly fantasy and betting. And I did throw out Matt Stafford, 275+ yards at +140. So, you know, and that hit. Nacua was just fine. 9 for 98. didn't punch anybody. That's always good. 14 targets, that's even better. Cooper Kupp was fine. 7 for 80. You know, those were all good. They just didn't put the ball in the end zone. You know, there was a bunch of field goals essentially for them, and that's why they didn't win. I mean, Kyren Williams' better days will be ahead for him. However, he did at least bail us out with 7 PPR points as a receiver because he goes 15 for 62, which wasn't terrible, but it wasn't what we were looking for fantasy, but then bails us out in the passing game. So all is good there. Weird end to a actually weird week. Like, it started so explosive, but then it really wasn't that explosive from a touchdown productivity standpoint. But now here we are, man. We have 1 month left in the fantasy football regular season. We have 4 games to get into the postseason. Hey, if you're steamrolling, you're already like 8-2 or something like that. Yeah, all right. We're almost there. But we still have some work to do. And I talk about end game, middle game, opening. You know, I use the chess analogy. Those who play chess certainly get what I'm talking about. But if you don't play chess, it's pretty simple. In the opening phase of any game of chess, you are positioning your pieces, right? That's what you're doing. You're setting things up. And then in the middle game, you play off of what you have set up. So like, our opening phase is obviously fantasy draft. It's that first month or so until we hit the bye weeks. And even in the bye weeks still, we might be still opening like first 4 to 6 weeks of the season. And in those opening phases, like in chess, for example, you don't want to like freak out and sacrifice your queen very early on. And I find people freak out. They don't sacrifice their queen necessarily, like the, you know, very important piece, but they may drop people they shouldn't drop, right? And they may make moves in terms of trades that they shouldn't make, right? We're still setting up the board. And even if you come out of that, like first, let's say the first 4 weeks of the season, you come out of it at 1-3, okay. Come out of it 0-4. Okay, your season isn't over, you know? Then we get into the middle game. And this is where, you know, now we're really trying to execute the plan that we set up in the opening phase. We're still there. We are not in the end game. The end game for me will start when I'm facing elimination. I hope you're not facing elimination in week 11. You might be, but really, for the most part, a lot of that's us, that is... it's probably more of a week 14 thing, or it's in the playoffs. You know, obviously you're facing elimination in any game in the playoffs. That's when we start to break out different tactics than what we're using right now. Like blocking, for example. I'm not going to block an opponent right now because I'm going to waste my guys on my bench who I probably need at this point. So we'll talk about that when we get there, but I wanted to toss that topic out anyway because I do get some people asking me about strategies which are very clearly end game strategies and whether or not they should do them at this point in the season. And my answer is no, we're not there yet. Let me talk about Shane Waldron. So the Chicago Bears decided to move on from Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator and have appointed Thomas Brown the interim offensive coordinator. Shane Waldron is officially out too. He is fired. It's not a, they stripped him of play calling duties. So what do we know about Thomas Brown? Well, like Shane Waldron, he comes from a Sean McVay background. Brown went to Carolina last year and was the play caller at various points, not the entire season, for the ill-fated Frank Reich regime and then beyond the Frank Reich regime. I don't know if we know enough about Brown as a play caller to go one way or the other, but a couple things. First and foremost, this is not a scheme change. We may see different play calling tendencies. Sure, I sure as hell hope we do, because Shane Waldron's was extremely boring, his offense. You know, you had Caleb Williams with a time to throw of 3.03 seconds. If you're not familiar with that stat, that's slow. That's really slow. And you know, people are getting all over the offensive line. My former employers over at PFF have the Bears number 10 in the league in pass blocking. So it's not the offensive line, but any offensive line is going to break down if you hold the ball too long. Why was he holding the ball too long? Because his receivers weren't open. Is it because of his receivers that they weren't open? No, it's because of the darn play calling. Like, I still have belief in DJ Moore, and let me talk about him in a minute, Roma Dunze, and even Keenan Allen. We just need better play calling. And it's not going to completely change everything, but when you're at the bottom, you have nowhere to go but up. So this should help the cause a little bit here for the Chicago Bears. Now let me talk about DJ Moore. DJ Moore is a boom or bust player. And I think that people keep forgetting that. This is an every year phenomenon with DJ Moore. Not just a this year. Let's go back to last year. So I'm looking at last year's box scores. He got out of the gate really hot last year. He had 104 on six catches in week two. He had a touchdown in week three. It wasn't a great stat line, but the touchdown helped. Then he goes 8 for 131 and 1. Then he had that magical game against Washington when he had 230 and 3 touchdowns on 8 catches. From there, he doesn't top 60 receiving yards in any game. His top was 58 until we get to week 11. So he has 5 straight games that were lackluster. Then he scored a touchdown, 96 yards, 114 yards on 11 catches, touchdown, 68 yards on 6 catches. Then he goes 52 on 4, 18 on 3. Then he goes 9 for 159. That is boom or bust. All right, let's take a quick look at 2022. Did not get out of the gate hot. In fact, only had one touchdown over his first 6 games. His highest receiving yards total was 59 over that span. His highest catch total was 6, but otherwise he didn't have more than 4. That was bad, right? That was very bad. And perhaps the icing on the cake. In week 6, he had 3 catches for 7 yards. Okay, everybody fed up with him. Then he goes out in week 7, 7 for a very nice 69 yards, but a touchdown as well. Then 6 for 152 and a touchdown. Then 2 for 24, 4 for 29, 3 for 24. Then 4 for 103 and a touchdown. Oh, but it gets better. Then 0. 0 on 3 targets, 0. Then 5 for 73 and a touchdown, 5 for 83 and a touchdown, and 6 for 117 and a touchdown. This is DJ Moore. I could go through every stinking season and show you how he is a boom or bust guy. But yet people expect him to all of a sudden be consistent. When you sign up for players, just know the player you're signing up for, plain and simple. And if you can't handle boom or bust guys, just don't draft them. Because I can't tell you how many people have asked me, should I drop DJ Moore? And by the way, I'll never answer that question because I'm not you. I can tell you how I would decide, but I'm not running, 10,000, 10,000 subscribers or whatever it is. I'm not running 10,000 fantasy teams. I hate running 12 of them that are run right now. It's too many. I want 4 or 5. I don't want 12, but I can't turn down industry leagues. So I can't make those decisions for you. But I can tell you, if you don't like boom or bust players, don't roster them. I can tell you that I will only drop a player if there's somebody better to pick up. I will never spite drop anybody. But I also can tell you, I might be different from you. I can handle boom or bust players. I can handle if DJ Moore, heck, I can handle if he puts up a goose egg in my starting lineup. I know the risk, but I also know the reward because I've seen the big games. And seemingly that could happen at any point. A lot of times there's no rhyme or reason to it. A lot of times it just happens. He gets hot. And, when DJ Moore gets hot, he can be white hot. But when he gets cold, he can be, frigidly cold. So that's the type of player he is. That's my DJ Moore advice, and I am sticking to all of that. Another news item that came out today, Isaiah Pacheco designated to return. Oh, that sound you just heard was your Kareem Hunt shares plummeting to the ground. They are going to have very little value when Pacheco is officially back. Now, designated to return and activated off of injured reserve are two different things. When you are designated to return, a 21-day window opens up. You can practice during that span of time, but if you're not activated, you obviously can't play. But at least you can be in practice. Now, after that, if you aren't activated by the end of the 21 days, you immediately go to season-ending IR. It's rare, but I have seen it happen. It happens every year, a player or two that you'll see that happen with. I thought it was going to happen with Adam Thielen, but he actually finally was activated. But regardless, he may not play this week. If we see Isaiah Pacheco with the first practice report go limited, I almost guarantee he'll go limited the whole week and he won't play. So it'll be at least another week of Kareem Hunt. We've seen Kareem Hunt is super lackluster as a player, but he gets crazy volume. you know, imagine Pacheco, who is a much better player at this point in his career than Kareem Hunt with all that volume. And we're cooking with gas, right? So what do you do if you have Kareem Hunt? Well, I've been warning for a couple weeks, like sell. There's still enough time that you might be able to get something for him, but your window is closing rapidly. And I fully expect Pacheco, when he comes back, to be exactly where he was before. He's a rock solid RB1 option. Kareem Hunt would just basically be the cuff, because I don't think we're going to be looking at a committee situation given just how lackluster Kareem Hunt has been. And I know that's not a popular take. I get people who get on me all the time. Oh, I thought you said you didn't want him. I would not change the advice, because I'm not wrong on the fact that he is not playing good football. He is getting great volume, whatever. If you picked him up, cool, you're smarter than me. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't care, because I'm going to look at football first, and fantasy production is going to be a product of that. Now, you can't help it, though, when a dude gets freaking 20-plus touches every single game. I legitimately did think they would be using more of Carson Steele, but I should have looked back at my evaluation of Carson Steele in the rookie fantasy scouting guide, because it was not good. And I look back at my evaluation, and it's like so spot on for him. That dude ran a 4.77. I mean, it's really, he's a fullback, you know. And then maybe the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, but I think know that now. And maybe the Samaje Perine thing, I don't know. They just didn't have running backs, so there you go. Kareem Hunt gets all that volume. But the good news is Pacheco is going to get it all when he comes back. Okay, let's get into waivers for this week. Remember, every week I'll give you the top 10 here. If you want the remaining players on the list, you got to go over to ftnfantasy.com. There's always guys who are a little bit deeper down the list who are very worth checking out, including one who will be number 3 on this week's list. Last week, he was outside of the top 10, but definitely a sneaky pickup. But before I get to him, two wide receivers at the top of the board who should not be widely available, but are widely available, Cedric Tillman and Juwan Jennings. I would go 25 to 50 on Tillman, maybe 20 to 40 on Jennings, but they're pretty darn close. They are available. Tillman's basically about half of leagues. Jennings is about 40% of leagues. They should not be available. Both are wide receiver 3s or better going forward. Number 3 on the list is the player I was alluding to a few minutes ago. And this is why it pays to be proactive, because if you were proactive last week, you don't even have to worry about this. You already picked the dude up. His name is Audric Estime. And Audric Estime is 99% available on ESPN, 97% available on Yahoo. Now, he didn't have an amazing fantasy week last week. 14 carries, whatever. You know, didn't pop. But he had 14 carries. Javonte Williams had 1. We heard from Sean Payton that he was going to get more work. More work he got. He is now clearly ahead of Javonte Williams. Now, I know people are going to say, would you drop Javonte Williams? Well, I'm going to wait and see on Javonte Williams in terms of the passing game usage. But I think we may be to the point where, yeah, I don't know if he's that rosterable. Here's how I answer the question, would you drop? Does the player have any chance of starting for me? Now, when I look at somebody like Javonte Williams, whose arrow is pointing down, I find it hard to believe that he's going to be a starter for me at any point. If I have somebody better to add, then I'll add him, right? Now, there may be guys like, well, Estime last week, if you picked him up, did he have a chance to start for you? Well, no, not necessarily, but the angle was he could down the line. And it wasn't a handcuff situation. It wasn't Braylon Allen, the only way he starts for you is if Breece Hall goes down. It was much more akin to Tyrone Tracy, for example, who steps in there. We weren't quite sure what he was going to look like. Singletary banged up. And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, you know, this guy is pretty stinking good. And, you know, so let's see what happens with Audric Estime. But he is by far the top pickup of the week outside of Tillman and Jennings, who probably aren't available in your leagues. I include them because I'm under the 70% threshold. Estime 10 to 20%. I also like Jaylen Warren a lot, 10 to 20%. He's nowhere near as available as Estime, but he looked good last week, put up 95 scrimmage yards on 16 touches. We know Arthur Smith's going to use both running backs. He's behind Najee Harris in the pecking order, but he's still going to be used a lot. Mike Williams at number 5, also another Pittsburgh Steeler. I'm only going 5 to 10% on him. Only ran 6 routes in that debut, but a 32-yard touchdown. He's going to be more involved going forward, and that's only going to increase. And Russell Wilson loves to run to the end zone, so good on that. Xavier Leggett, I have 5 to 10%, but I bet you can get him cheaper because he's heading into bye, and we know that people tend to sort by projected points. on waivers. Our opponents do that. Hopefully we don't do it. I don't do it for sure. But you sort out guys who are on bye. So you might be able to get him pretty cheap. You know, he's the top receiver for them. And case in point, the next couple guys on the list were on bye last week and are still fairly widely available. Romeo Doubs and Jerry Jeudy. Doubs is the number one receiver for them, even though he doesn't necessarily have the highest fantasy ceiling, right? I would certainly say Jaden Reed's is higher and Christian Watson's for that matter. But Doubs still figures to see the most targets going forward. So I like him at 5 to 10%. Jerry Jeudy, more 4 to 7%. It's partially Jameis, although the target volume is pretty good for Jerry Jeudy. But, you know, he's a guy who could certainly be a flex option. And in a lot of ways, he's very similar to DeMario Douglas, who's at 9, 4 to 7%. Not a high ceiling, but a decent floor. And sometimes you just need those flex guys, especially because remember, this week we have a regular bye week. Then we have Bye-mageddon 1.0 in week 12. No byes in week 13. That's the Thanksgiving week. And then week 14, Bye-mageddon 2.0. A rough one there. Rough stretch. So you're going to need some depth to sustain. Finally, I have Christian Watson, and I'm only going 4 to 7%. Now, the good news is, seems like he put some distance between himself and Dontavian Wicks before their bye week. So he, you know, in theory, plays a little bit more than he was earlier in the season. We know the ceiling is high, but much like that DJ Moore conversation I just had there, he's boom or bust. And if you can't handle rostering that type of player, just don't roster him. That's what you're going to get out of Christian Watson. If you want more stability, yes, Romeo Doubs, Jerry Jeudy, DeMario Douglas will give you more stability. It's just their ceilings aren't anywhere near as high as somebody like Christian Watson. This week there are, 40 players. You have some defensive streamers as well in the tool. You have, you know, some deep super flex potential speculative ads. I have a whole bunch of handcuffs in there. If you have a number one running back and you're not handcuffing him and you don't have four or five bench spots, if you have four or five bench spots, you can't waste them on a handcuff. But if you're in a regular size league, should be insuring your top asset. All right. That's going to do it for today. Remember, on Wednesdays, the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast is where you can hear me. Subscribe to that podcast as well. It really would help. It helped me out just in general, but subscribe to that podcast on Wednesdays, break down all the latest news for you and talk about how it impacts rankings for the week. Week 11, man, week 11, marching towards the fantasy football playoffs. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And you can follow along with me on socials. So on Instagram, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe, and on Twitter, X, whatever. So stupid. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe there as well. On this feed, I'll be back on Thursday. We'll set you up with all the injury intel. Maybe we'll talk a little wide receiver cornerbacks on the show as well. And then Friday preview. And then right back, rinse and repeat next week, baby. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.